Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Bayman Review, Episode 7, a podcast where we tackle issues ranging from life hacks to politics to government and MUN tips now and then. But in today's episode, we're going to be tackling the issue concerning women in leadership and women in politics. And who else should I talk to about this other than Annabelle Ghanem and Marina Markaryan, both part of the Bayman family and hardcore feminists and my idols when it comes to political studies. And you'll know why in just a second when they introduce themselves. But before they do, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Haya. I'm your host for the Bayman Review podcast, and I'm this year's USG of Marketing, Design, and Production. I'm going to leave the floor for Marina. Marina, would you like to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Haya. It's great to be back here, and it's amazing to be having this discussion with you. It's a topic that's very dear to my heart. So just a brief introduction. I'm studying politics and minoring in human rights and transnational justice. And as Haya said, I'm a committed feminist. It's something really, really important to me.
Mm-hmm. Annabelle?
Hi, Haya. It's so nice to be back here and to discuss such a beautiful topic. My name is Annabelle Ghanem, and I am the Secretary General for Bayman 2021 this year. I am a political science major that's also double majoring in education with a double minor of international law and human rights and transitional justice. The topic of women in general, not just feminism, means so much to me as we all try to make our mark in this world through all of the obstacles that we have. And I'm so excited to discuss this with you all today.
Me too. I'd say let's dive right in. And I have, you know, my first question is mainly about your guys' majors. So why did you choose to major in political studies when you could have chosen any other major? Maybe you chosen political studies as a minor, but why did you choose to go with this specific track at a point in your lives when, you know, you're fairly young and we don't know what we want out of life just yet? So Marina, would you like to start us off?
Oh, sure. So honestly, politics was a very random choice for me, but it came through a series of ideas. So it started off with international relations, and then it kind of just went into politics. And honestly, my first experience in politics that led me to go for it was MUN. Just being so passionate about discussing topics about real world problems made me want to actually pursue politics and hopefully change, find actual change in the future, hopefully. So be part of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Annabelle? Yeah.
I think, honestly, something that the podcast listeners would want to know is Marina and I actually started our political journey together in Dubai because we were in schools together. So we used to see each other all the time during MUN, and that was kind of how I started to get into politics. My story is actually quite interesting. I was approached by the MUN advisor of my school to kind of join in for the conferences and stuff like that after giving a speech at one of my conferences in school. So I joined MUN, I loved it, and I came one day to the house and I told my parents, I want to go into politics. And being from a family that was honestly very involved in politics in earlier years and etc., they thought that that was the worst idea possible for a girl, a Lebanese girl, might I add, to get into this major and particularly want to go to AUB, the American University of Beijing. So this was a huge mess on its own, but I knew for a fact I had a place in the political sphere. I really did. I knew it ever since I entered MUN that I wanted to help people and I wanted to dedicate my life to help people. And that is exactly why I ended up joining this major and combining it with education to try to strengthen the opportunities and accessibilities, you could say, for education and political science.
Yeah. That's definitely, I love that. It's definitely a really, really good point bringing up family. I think that environment has a really big toll on people studying politics. I would say especially, like, personally, you and me, Annabelle, as well, like, especially because we're female studying in Lebanon, it's such a huge thing. And not only that, like, not even only gender, it's more like the idea that so many people know how politics and history are so repetitive, things are never going to change. So many people just around you say that it's never going to change, history is going to repeat itself, what's the point of it, you know? So it's always like, this pushes me forward to say, no, something is going to change. I'm going to be helping this change, like, no matter what it is. And people say, you say this now, in the future, you might not think of that. But it's like, no, I want to try at least. So that's why I'm, you know, trying to go
for
it.
The fact that we hold on to that and we have that hope is the reason why we are seeing change. We're starting to see slight change, not drastic change, but we're getting there. and yeah. we're moving forward, and that's our role. And as the new and upcoming generation, I think I actually had this conversation with Sara in our first episode, that there's this weight on generation to change everything, that we're going to redefine the narrative, we're going to bring down the patriarchy, we're going to change the whole system. And obviously, like, we would love to do that, because we, as this new generation, are radical. We're not like the typical traditional type who are settling for the status quo. We want to be part of the change. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that in order for us to change anything, we need to recognize that change is necessary, and we have to demand to be part of the solution.
Definitely. And I think the best part of, just to add on a small point with what you're saying, Haya, I totally resonate with this, because if you recognize the people that are demanding the change right now is mostly the youth. It's mostly
exactly.
the genuine
definitely
society, you know,
because it's our future. It's thing is, it's our future is in our hands, and this is something that us youth are trying to empower other youth to actually recognize this, because you can't just keep following in the tracks of the people that are older than us saying, okay, it's never going to change, you know, it's going to be the same. Like, no, we have the power in our hands. 100%. It's our future.
Not just that.
Exactly.
We don't want to graduate and have to move like most of the people in Lebanon. You know what I mean? And if you see it, the October, when the revolution broke out, this is exactly what we saw. We saw the youth, the universities go head to head, demand for the change. And this shows you how important education is in the political sphere as well, because these are educated decisions. We wouldn't have known,
right.
we wouldn't be able to make a living. We wouldn't have known that there was something wrong with the economy, there was something wrong with this, if we weren't
exactly
was really putting effort to understand. So this is why there's hope with this generation, in my opinion.
And at least for me, like from my personal experience, I was never really into politics. And especially when I was in high school, I never demanded to know. And I blame myself for it. And I wish that I could have taken that extra step to gain better perspective, to be more well-rounded about the topic, to have knowledge about it. But I really appreciate that the revolution happened when it did, because it stirred up something in all of us, and it enticed me to actually go out of my way and ask questions and be curious about how politics works and how politics in Lebanon works, because I think that it's such a complicated system, or that it's such a simple system, but we make it complicated.
I just wanted to comment on a point that you raised, Haya. I think about like not knowing about what is important in high school. I think that this is something that has been repeated for such a long time. Like, politics is such a taboo topic. Like, oh, don't talk about it. It's something very sensitive. Yeah. It's like, you know, like a fight might break out. It's something like, but the thing is, it's something really important to talk about if you know how to approach it. I think it's something that every youth, whether you're in high school or in university or anywhere, you have to know about topics. You have to stay informed, because if you just don't know things, it just keeps you uninformed, and that's not always a good thing. It keeps you in a bubble.
And you won't grow.
Yeah, it keeps you in a bubble, pretty much. So
exactly. And we talked about this, I think, with you and I and Yasmina, about bursting that bubble and popping it, and purposely wanting to learn about what's going on around us. And goes back to the news thing.
Yeah, the diversifying your narrative as well is something really important.
Exactly. I love this conversation. Like, I love where we've taken the conversation already. I would like to jump on to another idea related to women in leadership positions. And yesterday, you know, yesterday was International Women's Day. So happy International Women's Day, ladies, and everyone listening. I read this quote online that I wouldn't say blew my mind, but it was genuinely very eye-opening. If you want a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. I love that. Like, it's so simple, yet it's so true. And it rings true to me, because, you know, as young women, we are demanding a seat at the table more and more. We're demanding that we be part of the decision-making process more and more. And it's only fair that being 50%, that comprising 50% of the solution, 50% of the population, that we actually are part of the decision-making process. So, as women, how do you feel and what do you know you can bring to the table in your industries, in politics? Because, you know, this episode is titled Women in Politics. So as women, as Annabelle, as Marina, what do you believe you can bring to the table as change makers, as people who want to be part of the solution?
So first and foremost, I'm a huge believer in the fact that our gender is one of our greatest strengths. You know, people...
I love that.
Yeah, genuinely, people see it as a barrier. And that's because of the really, like, the mentality that's been circulating our world. They kind of influence us and push us to see ourselves as if we are weak or as if our gender is low. But genuinely, our gender brings so many components to the spectrum that are not present in the other gender, and vice versa. That's the whole point of equality. We complement each other, you know?
I love that.
And that's how I see it. And personally, as a woman that always tried to make her mark in politics, always tried to do her best to kind of help everyone around her grow at the same time, you know, I truly believe that when you want something, whether you're a woman or a man, you push and you fight for it. And the people that stand in your way are going to be collateral damage. And I swear the win is just going to be so much sweeter with people in front of you. That's how I always thought of it. As a kid, growing up in this field, especially because I knew what I wanted to do. I was fortunate. I knew what I wanted to do at a very young age. I always made sure that when someone tells me that I can't do something that I really set my mind to, that I won't
prove them wrong.
Exactly. I won't stop until I do it. And that's how I've been living my life. And thankfully, especially this year, I've genuinely seen that all of the struggles, all of the pushing and the fighting and the working, it really paid off, you know. And becoming a Secretary General for Bayman was always something that I aspired to do since I entered university. And having an all-women secretariat completely by surprise, you know, it was such a shock. This is a huge moment, you know what I mean? And just from seeing Women's Day yesterday, genuinely, it made my heart so warm because so many different women are in power right now. The youth is really stepping up, you know what I mean? And so many men as well. The thing is that we're complementing each other properly. Like you said,
exactly.
50-50 population, 50-50 mm-hmm. of the representation, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Manina, would you like to add to that?
Definitely. I 100% agree with you, Annabelle. I think that it's such an important aspect of politics. Your gender doesn't matter. It's your mind. Like, this is something I actually did talk about a few days ago after Women's Day as well, is your mind, your values. It's what you are on the inside is what matters. It's your heart. It's not what you are on the outside. This is something really important to me, especially because, as Annabelle said, so when someone tells me you can't do this or you aren't able to reach this position or something, it makes me work harder. It makes me do better. And this is something that I've grown up with. I don't know if I should call it naive or something, but I never thought of my gender as a weakness. I never felt just because I was a female that I wasn't able to do something. I always pushed myself forward. Mm-hmm. I was always competing with my boy classmates when I was younger. It was never, there was never the separation. And I felt like my parents also had a huge part to play in this. My parents never separated me as well. So they always taught me, you can do, if you put something to your mind, you can do it. So I never felt that just because I'm a girl, you know, I can't do this, or no, this is not meant for me. Especially, oh my God, this is something such a huge thing for me as well, is politics. You look at the news, you look at parliament, you look at government, you see it's so male dominated. You see the seats are filled with men. You can't see a female speaker in politics. It's always been such a huge area. So then while we were transitioning into choosing our majors, going into university, I was like, oh, politics is something I'm interested in. It's something to push my dreams forward. And I got, as I said in the previous question as well, I got questioned. It's like, it's politics. It's a game. Like, why would you play it? You know, it's not worth it. But then I'm like, no, it is worth it. Like, there should be equality. There's, as Annabelle was saying, it's a 50-50. You can't just take one perspective of it or the patriarchy alone. It has to be an equality and with all different opinions there as well.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the more dominant narratives in politics, especially when it comes to the women, the role that women play, is that when they speak up and when they choose to speak up, they're too emotional and they're too passionate because, like, we can't have opinions. We're women. We can't have opinions about politics. That's what everybody says, and that's the that's the sad yet dominant narrative. But how do we? How do we stop this narrative from continually being perpetuated in a landscape that's so I don't know how flexible politics is, because politics to some extent is relatively very rigid, it's not as dynamic. But what do you think about this narrative, and what do you think we can do to stop it?
I've experienced this firsthand. We've actually discussed this in the podcast that I did with you, Sara, and Zina previously. I've been told once that you may not be in a leadership position because you are too emotional, because you may not be able to handle it. And, you know, in the beginning, now that I think of it, I really do laugh at that situation, because, you know, from experience, you can't judge the emotional capacity of a person without knowing the person or without knowing how they react. That was
very true.
Inequality in its, at its finest. But that really pushed me. Like, it did not get to me whatsoever. It pushed me. And at the end of the day, in that scenario, I ended up becoming the boss of the person that said those words to me.
Wow.
Whoa.
Later, I pushed and I became the boss of that person. And it wasn't just so that I can become the boss of him. It was because my heart, my academics, my mind, they were all in the right place. And I really wanted to reach my goals despite anyone. So
that's amazing.
This is the message that we are all trying to send to these young women, you know. And people do experience this. It's not just too emotional, but it's, I don't know, too incapable, too one-sided, too out of their field. You should go be a teacher, you should go be a nurse. This is absolutely insane to me, you know what I mean? And for the record, men can be emotional as well. This is toxic masculinity.
Right.
Yes. I was just about to touch up on that.
Exactly.
Hey, this is the first thing I thought of when you answered the question, asked the question, sorry. Honestly, I think of the opposite side of the spectrum. Emotions are not a weakness. You can't lead from a place of no emotion. Like, it's not just morals.
Exactly.
Morals go hand in hand with your emotions. You have to feel something is right. Something that's morally good, something that's morally bad. And this goes into emotions. And as Annabelle was saying, like, toxic masculinity is something so huge in our society that is very underrated, and it's not spoken about enough. And women have been shamed for being, too emotional. If you're going to do this, another thing is, it's the time of the month. She's too emotional. She can't do this. She can't do that. It's like, no, you are able to do something no matter what. It's not a part of, it's like, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And emotion is not a weakness. It's a strength. That's what I see. It's actually a strength to be.
It's like they find every attribute that they can pick on. It's like, you're a female. Let me take that.
Exactly.
You know, you're emotional. Let me turn that into something that won't work out in your favor. Like, why are we picking on these attributes that should function as our source of strength and transform them into sources of weaknesses?
Exactly.
And these sources of weaknesses are part of the narrative that's being perpetuated by the men we're creating.
Exactly.
It's such a vicious cycle, and it's so annoying. Like, I don't want to be a part of that anymore. I don't want my future daughter, if God will, to be part of that too. Like, I want her to grow up in a world where she can be whatever she wants, and I don't want men to say that she can't be something because she has feelings. Like,
exactly.
Doesn't make sense.
This is not only detrimental to women, if you think about it, because the whole idea that you should not be emotional, especially in politics, I feel it affects men in the wrong way and leads them becoming partially people that are not proper leaders for the world. It's very true that you have to separate your emotions from political decisions. But there's a line between separating emotion and decisions to making decisions that are inhumane.
Yes, and exactly.
100%. 100%.
That's where the morals come in as well. That's why I touched upon it. Like, it just this whole cycle creates a beacon of negativity in the sense where it's like, it's not only, it's like men, people who say this, that's not saying men, but like, you know, people that take the idea, emotions are a weakness for women, and then they take it and remove it from men. So it's like, are you trying to take your emotions like from a man and then give it to a woman and tell her you can't lead because you have emotions? It's something I don't have. It's like, what do you mean? Men have emotions. You can speak about your stuff. It's not like,
yeah.
It's something that I honestly don't understand. I do to some extent, yeah. Like the patriarchy or mm-hmm. whatever, but I don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm. The patriarchy or whatever. I love that. it's true. Annabelle, do you want to add anything or do I just move on to my next idea?
No, I think that everything was properly said. Emotions are not a bad thing as long as they're controlled. They can actually make you mm-hmm. do a lot of just decisions. You know, they have to be mm-hmm. the moral compass mm-hmm. needs to be there. How can you be a leader without emotions? You
exactly.
You know? I love exactly. that word, Annabelle, moral compass. This is something so important. And when actually a little small thing I wanted to touch up on that, everyone has a moral compass. Mm-hmm. Some people are more in touch with it than others. Some people might be on the wrong path. It's just the idea of being in touch with your moral compass. And there's always a process to that. And mm-hmm. it's not easy, but it's a process and you can get there.
Exactly. I'm hoping that we can shift the conversation now to Lebanon. And there's actually a stat here that we have in our notes. In 2018, Lebanon ranked 147th out of a total of 149 countries, according to the Global Gender Gap Index, with one of the lowest rates of women's political participation in the region. How does that make you feel? Because I know for a fact that I'm angry. And sad,
disappointed,
so devastated. I mean, how can you know? I'm not surprised though, honestly. And I think at this point, mm-hmm. anyone would be surprised with these rates. I have forgotten what they're fighting for. You know what I mean? This is the reason that we are all doing all of these strives, and we're really pushing ourselves to become these influential people in society because we will change mm-hmm. that one day. And with all honesty. With the rankings and everything that's going on, I see it as fuel to the fire that we are setting across Lebanon.
Exactly.
With the new sexual harassment mm-hmm. clause that just came mm-hmm. out, mm-hmm. and even though there is lack of representation in the parliament and government in general, the rate is still a bit higher than before. You know what I mean? There is a bit of progress,
mm-hmm.
not enough at the very least, not enough. But I know for mm-hmm. a fact that this generation. Is going to do so much to change that.
Yes.
And that percentage is going to change. And I can guarantee that 100%.
And both of you are perfect examples of that, that we're already in
moving so in the are right you, direction. Exactly. I think, I definitely so, yeah, agree. Many, I think that it is definitely fuel because we also see different examples of politics all over the world. There's so many women in politics that have made a change. And all mm-hmm. we need is to look up to those people, look at our situation and change it and move forward. It's always how it goes. Like we see an issue. And honestly, like Annabelle said, the youth of our generation, we're in a community where we see how much females have an opinion about what's happening to them. And this is so important. Having an opinion is so important. Yeah. And mm-hmm. because it's the only way you're going to get heard as well.
I think that is so important as well, and people tend to always forget it, but the importance of the man in this fight. So the man, yes. if they're not on our side as well, there is no change that's going to be. But if you guys saw yesterday, I don't know if your social media experienced the same kind of hype, but most of the men that were part of my life, that I see across my university, I see across here where I live in Dubai, all posted for Happy Women's Day, you know what I mean? My friend texted mm-hmm. me, Happy Women's Day, charge on, you know what I mean? There's a shift.
Wow.
It was.
Here.
Yes. Yeah. This is something, this is a very amazing point to bring up, honestly. I think that the perspective of men, this is actually goes into two different sides, and I want your opinion on it as well. So, firstly, as mm-hmm. yesterday, I had so many people from my friends that were men that approached me, and it felt really nice because it's like you recognize this little cause. And it's so important mm-hmm. because you know how people say, oh, like, there's some people, like, who are victims of toxic masculinity, let's say, because it is a situation like that. Let's say men mm-hmm. can't be feminists. That's not true. Feminists aren't just females.
That's so not true.
Females are, mm-hmm. yeah, we are women, yes, okay, but men can be feminists. You can fight for women rights, because you're not fighting for a woman to have more rights than you. You're fighting for a woman, for everyone's society to have equal rights. And that's the cause. Mm-hmm. That's not, and I think this is something that is blown out of proportion sometimes. And that's why some people would say something opposite. Oh no, why would we follow women rights? Like, it's not important. Like, no, it is important. It's equality. It's your future mm-hmm. just as much as it's our future. Yeah. It's a society's future. It's not just, you know, sections of it.
Definitely.
Feminism has such a simple definition, but over time, because the patriarchy has seen that, ooh, this is bad for us. Let's bring this down. Let's coin the term feminazis. Let's fight against yeah. these women that are fighting against us. Like, it's a movement, and we're part of pushing that movement forward and making people understand yeah. that feminism is so much simpler than what you think it is. It's equal mm-hmm. rights for women and men. It's that simple.
You know, I think
it's really nothing.
You know,
else.
I think one thing that was very, sorry, one thing that was very different about this Women's Day yesterday is, like, the past year has honestly had so many different movements that has changed so many mm-hmm. people's perspectives. So it's always like, you know, people are more aware of what's going on around them with so much that so exactly. much to happen with the lockdown, the crises, everything just came up. It just kind of opened people's eyes. And I think that this was a very mm-hmm. key turning point to people recognizing little by little the smaller issues that are out there that are causing bigger issues in our world.
Totally.
Right.
The thing also is, however, I want to just bring a new perspective into life, you know? There are some people that I've mm-hmm. come across in my life, in my field in particular, that ask, oh, you're a feminist, with that look on their face, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like oh you guys God. Are saying, this definition is so simple, but it is not just the mm-hmm. interpretation that is being proven to be wrong, etc., but it's also how a lot of people represent feminism. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
I personally draw the line to a girl hitting a man. I will never accept that. You know what I mean?
It goes both ways. Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
This double standardness that is present in some feminist movements is wrong, and it is not the right kind of feminism. Yeah. That's why the job for women like us, to kind of take feminism for its natural meaning and definition. Mm-hmm. And do our best to promote that in our daily lives, in our work, in our conversations, in our overall attitudes as females, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we start showing double mm-hmm. standards and feminism and, you know what, excusing everything with the term loses its meaning.
Exactly.
It's just against each other, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this is something mm-hmm. super important to keep note of, because a lot of women out there think that they're going with feminism and really are just proving to be in a part
the
of
the opposite.
You know
yes.
what I mean? It's respect for both genders.
There's one more thing that really disappoints me, especially when it comes to the double mm-hmm. standard idea, or when it comes to the warped definition of feminism, let's say. So it goes, like, there's so many different definitions of feminism right now, and so many people understand it in a different way. Mm-hmm. I think social media has a huge part in this. But one thing that really, really, really disappoints me is when a girl comes up to me and says, why are you a feminist? I'm not a feminist. It's like, why are you not a feminist?
Which side are you it's on? Like, why aren't you on
exactly.
your gender's own side?
It's not even just gender. It's like, no matter who you are, your gender, whatever it is, you have to be a feminist.
Yeah.
You can't, because if you don't accept being a feminist or woman empowerment, that means you're succumbing to a government that oppresses, no matter who it is, whether it is in your community, whether it's outside of your community. It just doesn't resonate with me. Like, why would you say you're not a feminist? Does that mean you don't want yourself to have rights?
Or maybe she just doesn't understand the meaning.
Exactly. That's what keeps happening. People, social media mainly, honestly, kind of has warped the idea. Like, women, we want more rights. We want to be more powerful than women. This goes into men. Sorry, than men.
It's not about the more. We want to just reach the level at which men are at. It's that simple. We don't want anything beyond. We start thinking about beyond when we reach the level. But by the time we reach the level...
Yeah. And you know what whole other thing that comes up when people start questioning? Do you believe in the gender pay gap? Is there such a thing? Like, are you like, no, honey, you have rights. You're a woman. You have your rights. Like, what's your issue? It's like,
exactly.
It's like, that's- I may have my rights because I live in, I'm in a community that does not oppress me, but then other women are. It doesn't mean I'm not going to defend for their rights too.
Not just that.
Exactly.
Being in our field, we fought to reach the positions where we have reached. Mm-hmm. We have fought these positions, you know, we didn't only face gender inequality, you know what I mean? When we have men bosses, they tend to also pick their friends, they tend to also pick, and also women bosses as well. Like, it's like the general population is already facing a lot of, you could say, circumstances in order to reach the positions they want to. But we have our gender as well being discriminated against while adding on to those several inequalities that occur. At the end of the day, you look at the spectrum and you go like, our fight is a constant fight that happens every single day of our life. If we get too rowdy, we are not feminine. If we get angry, we are not representing what a lady should look like. If we wear a certain thing, then we are looked upon. If we come home late at night, we are considered to be, I don't know, we don't have parents. You know, we are put under a microscope every single second of the day. You know?
Exactly.
And yet we never gave up. We never gave up.
And we won't.
Being a woman is being resilient. And it has so much strength. This word, woman, has so much strength behind it. So much history. So much power. And I guarantee it that one day this gender pay gap, this inequality, all of this is going to diminish because people and men are standing by our side, you know? And
yeah, definitely.
Feminism, one point that Marina touched upon is that people really don't know sometimes the definition of the word. And thus they say, I'm not a feminist, you know?
But exactly.
By
exactly.
definition is equal rights between women and men, equal opportunity, equal everything, equal right to vote, civic engagement, equal right to necessities, equal right to work, you know? The worst thing in the world, I feel, is when a woman is in the same job level as a man and is not getting paid the same amount, even though she puts her hard work and sweat every single day to earn that money. You know,
that's absurd
to me, you know? And there's no justification for that. I'm sorry. So... Mm-hmm. That's the best part of Women's Day because it reminds us of all of this. It reminds us
of the limitation
for no equality. There's nothing that anyone can pull out from a religious book, from a government book, from a philosopher. There's nothing you can pull out that can justify all of these inequalities that are happening.
Exactly. You know, one more small thing I wanted to touch up on when you mentioned work. This thing has been circulating on social media about like how men and women write emails. So I'm not sure if you girls have seen it. So it's like this thing where
yes, I've seen it.
It blows my mind honestly because it's actually so true. Because I've been conscious about my emails after I saw that video. So it starts off with this girl typing up an email, and then the caption of it is like. Sending an email as pretending as like, you know, how a man would, and it has no exclamation marks in it, no sweet words in it. It's just straight to the point.
No happy
exactly.
face.
It's like, I do this. I like it when my emails are nice and I don't feel like I shouldn't. I mean, it makes the person I'm speaking to understand me more, you know, it's just
happy.
Yeah,
exactly. And then I realized there's such a huge gap between how males send emails and females, and it's like
it's as simple as right. Imagine that there's even a difference in the way we communicate in the simple emails. Like we're probably asking for something, or we're, you know, just sending in like a reply to somebody. Like this is I took an oath with my friend like 2 days ago. We watched this particular video, Marina, and we decided that from now on, no more exclamation points, no more happy faces. we're going to be straight to the point. We took an oath. Like, now we start sending each other screenshots of our emails to make sure that we're checking one Heya? Another.
Why are you changing
that we're
yourself?
On the same track.
This is... No. No, no. Ella, after I saw the video,
change is
I was
good.
Like, no, change this is good. Pushing me because honestly, why do I have to be drawing an email? I like being this friendly. I like showing that I'm friendly with the person. I don't have to be like, this is the paper. Here you go. Bye. Best. And that's not like, no, I like to be like, good morning. I hope you're doing well. This. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. it's like a communication way of, you know, being friendly. You don't have to be so rigid. And I feel like this is like such a, mm-hmm. a male quality. Like, no, like, you have to be rigid. You can't, this goes back to toxic masculinity, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think one more important point to note, it's not just like the small microscopic things, but one thing that always angered me about this topic and about our field in particular was going back to the question of Haya, if this makes us angry that in our country the representation of politics is not optimal whatsoever.
Subpar. Yeah.
But how in the world can someone justify putting another gender in control over the needs of women? And this comes with a period poverty, this comes with abortion laws, this comes with so many different things. And I understand the aspect of religion. I do understand it. However, no man should be allowed to dictate the rights of women when there is no woman representation in the government. If you
exactly.
would say
exactly.
in the laws, by all means, opinions yeah. are relevant, opinions are appreciated. However, if you are the only people, the only gender making laws for women, people who are
yeah, that's it's unacceptable.
That's
honestly,
rights violations. It's like indigenous.
It's so frustrating.
Sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. it's like different people everywhere. You know what I mean? The representation mm-hmm. is just absurd to me. It's borderline racism, with all honesty. You know,
it really is. It's like you think about it, it's like, what right do you have? What type of superiority do you think that you have over my or women's bodies? It's like, why are you telling us what to do with my, it's our choice. It's like, you know, it's like
they took a biology class in yeah. high school and thought
and
they knew how the reproductive
system
works.
Actually, it's not even worse. Sometimes some schools don't actually teach mm-hmm. men, boys, like about this stuff. Some don't actually understand mm-hmm. the process themselves. So they grow up not knowing about it. And I think this is something like it's, I mean, we haven't been through that because we learned from our mothers, from our sisters, from our
yeah,
friends.
Exactly.
We learned it through that. But do boys have that process too?
Not so. That. I'm so sorry to say, but I just cannot fathom the fact that, for an example, boys, it's not just bodies. Like in Lebanon, for an example, the sexual harassment laws just got passed. They just got mm-hmm. passed. So if I was a woman who was in the workplace that got sexually harassed, I would have no rights as of before the law was passed recently. I would have no rights to defend myself. The violation would be legal. Yani, there are just some points that don't make sense. And I'm the type of person, and I think every political science major tries to be this person. You always put yourself in the mm-hmm. shoes of the aggressor in order to understand his
yes.
thought process and then react.
Exactly.
That's very true.
Some things that you cannot put your shoes, you cannot put yourself, sorry, in their shoes because it's just unethical.
It's not even understandable, yeah.
You're a mm-hmm. bad person for believing that this is okay.
Another worry about that actually is the idea of believing the woman. I think that this is something like, it's something we've seen everywhere. There's always cases around the world where a woman comes forward and her voice is cut off. They don't listen to her. They actually do the opposite.
Interrupt her.
Yeah, they actually do the opposite. Mm-hmm. They put the blame. It was your fault. You did this, and that's why this happened to you. But it wouldn't be the woman's mm-hmm. fault. It doesn't, like as Annabelle said, sometimes you can put yourself in the situation of the aggressor to kind of figure out their way of thinking. Mm-hmm. But there's some things that just, it's just unacceptable.
Exactly. Exactly. Because it's the society's fault when they don't believe a victim.
Yes. And other than that, this little the little, it creates a ripple. Sorry, I just kind of cut off my words, but it creates a ripple. It's a domino effect. If one woman stands up for herself mm-hmm. and then gets shut down, the other woman is going to be like, oh, they got shut down, I shouldn't speak because the same thing is going to happen to me.
Exactly.
So there is empowerment. Women should speak up. You have your rights. You need to fight for your rights. But it reaches a point mm-hmm. where it's like, there's not enough acceptance from the people listening, not even just from the side of the government or the aggressor. It's just a little ripple, I guess.
I totally agree. But at the same time, I have to acknowledge that there are a lot of women that do not represent the definition of feminism. They take advantage of it, in my opinion, sometimes, just so that they could, for an example, aggravate a particular population, especially the Twitter community. This community on its own is one of the most powerful communities. The Lebanese Twitter community is something else. But with honesty, mm-hmm. I'm a very, very rational person when it comes to gender inequality topics. There are a lot of women that go up on Twitter and accuse men of rape and sexual assault, and these allegations were proven to be fake. And this, to me, is more disgusting than men saying that, for an example, this isn't true, or lying about these things, or not appreciating rape victims. You know, when women stand against each other, or when women would try to lose all of the momentum that we have been working so hard to build, you know what I mean, just to be heard and be appreciated and be respected, and use it in a very misogynistic way.
Yeah, you
know? This is disgusting mm-hmm. to me.
It's also very painful to see, agreed. Honestly. It's just like, you expect something from someone, whether you know the person or not, to help represent you. But there's always, let's say, I don't want to use the term black sheep because it's a loose term, but more like you get, mm-hmm. it's like, you know how society works. So there's always there would be 99 people that are doing an amazing job, and then there's just one person who's not doing the job that they're supposed to do. So they base the whole thing on that one person not doing their job.
On that one person.
So it's like in feminism, you have 95% of the population of women supporting women's rights. We got this. It's our future. It's our rights. We're fighting for our rights. Then you have 5% completely demolishing it or not even standing up for their rights. So this 5%,
exactly,
it affects very greatly.
Because that's what they're going to be looking at. Exactly. They're going to be looking at the
5%. And because it's not even that. Like, it's our world looks for the negative. That's how it is. That's how our society looks. They completely ignore the positive side. Just go the negative side. So okay, true. Even if it's a 5%, I'm going to grab that chance, stick it in your face, say this is what's happening. It's like, no, 95% of it is actually positive.
What about
exactly? But it doesn't 95. Matter because it's not, a whole group of it. Like, it's not 100%. It's like, we need that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And this 100% includes mm-hmm. men, by the way. This isn't just exactly. women and women. This is
100%.
The job very true. Of each and every one of us. It's not, people really, really forget that in order to instigate change, you need to become the change on your own. You need
exactly.
to start at the level, you know? And it's up to us to wake up every single morning and embody the principles that we want to see in our world. Both mm-hmm. men.
Very well said. I mean?
Practice what you preach. Mm-hmm. This is, it's.
Exactly. And once you do that, that's when you start seeing change in the society. Yeah. Because once you stay neutral, for an example, in our situation, once men stay neutral in the situation, they are part of the corruption.
Yes.
It's very, very mm-hmm. true, this situation, the saying that they say, sorry, that staying silent in the face of injustice just makes you part of that very...
This is one of my favorite quotes ever.
1,000%.
This is something that I wholeheartedly believe in. This is part of the reason I'm studying politics. I have an opinion and I can't do anything about it unless I make it heard. And I don't, like, I'm not going to stay neutral. If I see something wrong, I'm going to talk about it. I'm not going to stay silent because mm-hmm. the more people stay silent, whatever gender you are, whatever thing you follow, it's going to affect us. Definitely. It's the small.
And when you stay silent, you're basically exactly. supporting this incident that you don't necessarily believe in, but you support it because you're not mm-hmm. talking about it.
An example in voting, you know, when people don't vote
exactly,
abstain, then the parties that are making the problems, they come into power. Hence the
exactly.
And I'll be very honest with you guys. To go on to the topic that we were discussing originally, I came from a family that, honestly, my distant relatives were invested in a political party. Thankfully, my dad and mom were not, but my distant relatives were. Yet I knew for a fact from the very get-go that this is not the right thing, this is not my path, and I was always the black sheep within my family, always standing up for the principles of the revolution and always fighting to be the change that the world needs to see, but also my family needed to see. You know, it hits close to home. And I really think that people in my major and Marina's major, all of our majors, they experience this, where their families, especially in Lebanon, are completely invested into the political system. And you have to literally look your parents, look your distant family members as well in the eye and tell them you are wrong. And that takes a lot of courage.
It takes a lot of courage to do that, definitely. Kudos to you, Annabelle. Honestly, I think it's such, as I was saying at the beginning, it's such a taboo idea of studying politics in Lebanon. Like, I would be, let's say I'd be visiting a doctor's office, or let's say a family friend with a family. I swear, I was at the dentist this morning and I told them I'm studying. Like, we were just talking, you know, and they were asking me, like, you know, what are you studying? And I'm like, oh, politics. They're like, where? They're, and then I'm like, I'm sick of Lebanon. What are you doing in Lebanon? I'm like,
at the dentist of all places, like, why? Like, even the dentist is judging.
It's like, I don't understand why politics has developed into such a heavy topic. It's like, it's like a little monster creeping in the background. But in reality, everything, like, this is actually the first thing I learned in my first ever university politics class. Everything around you is politics. Social media, communication, people, family, everything is politics.
So
and true. You can't avoid so it. True. You just can't avoid it. You have to.
You're making yourself oblivious to your surroundings. Mm-hmm. You're putting your life in control in the hands of someone else. And in our case, in Lebanon, you do not want to be putting your life in the hands of politicians. You know?
Definitely not.
Exactly. Exactly. This is such an amazing conversation, a conversation that is necessary, a conversation that I'm so glad we're having, a conversation that our audience is going to be listening to, and I'm so proud that they are. But before we wrap up, I have one last question to you both. What is one piece of advice you would give to young girls who want to get into politics but don't know how, or are afraid to? They have, you know, their parents, their family is playing with their minds and telling them that they're not up for it, that they're not ready to take it on. So what is one piece of advice that you would have liked to receive when you first entered university and chose your major?
Wow. One thing that I would like to tell all the young girls that are aspiring to join and really invest their life to politics, you know what I mean? I would love to tell them that your everyday life is a representation of who you want to be and the change that you want to instigate. And to make this field your life, to make this the path that you choose to take, is you're basically a soldier. You're a soldier trying to do right in this world, you know, trying to win the war that our race has basically created. They left a whole lot of corruption here. They left a whole lot of inequality, discrimination, whatever you want, wars left and right. You choosing to go on the political path means that you're a soldier and you really want to see some difference in this world. And you taking that first step is the literal definition of becoming a political scientist. You know, because that step, in my opinion, is the hardest. To say, I am going to dedicate my life to helping other people. And once you
And that's so cool.
Once you take that decision, all of the steps and all of the work that you do and all of the tireless nights, the amounts of coffee that you consume, the reading, the fighting, the screaming, you know, it's all going to be so much worth it, because you're not just doing it for success, but you're doing it for every single person in this world.
Exactly. Again, we were talking about this at the beginning. I think our future is in our hands. This is the general idea in mind. I think one thing I would say to anyone who has the passion to make a change in the world, lead with your heart, with your mind and your soul. Don't ever give up on something that you believe in. especially if you feel like it's something that can happen. It's your life. Mm-hmm. Whether as there would be so many people telling you, you shouldn't do this because of this, 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 this. But if you need to be the one making your own decisions, you see what you want in life. You're looking where you're going. You're not a child. This is the age I think we're talking about as well, like between high school and university, exactly. Where it's like you're a kid, but you're not a kid. But it's just a very, like, it's a very tough question. It's like, what am I going to do with my life? Do I think about life? Do I think about this? But it's just, yeah, just don't forget who you are as well.
You never know. You figure it out along the way.
Exactly. That's honestly
exactly. We're all bullshitting our way through life. Unfortunate.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I'm the kind of person that always needed to have a plan. Politics taught me that having a plan and being so stuck on it does not work. And that is my biggest lesson.
The accuracy of this, Annabelle, yeah. I swear.
It's like women, for an example, you know, they stray away from this major. But I swear the role that they have in this major is the reason why there's a bit of humanity left in this world. That I believe 100%, because their path is so unique. You know, they bring that touch. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is this emotional touch, you know, and I would say it proudly. Maybe it is this emotional touch, you know what I mean? But if it lets us make more educated decisions, more humane decisions, you know, and doesn't kind of, I don't know how you say, kind of diminish the whole perspective of politics and the decisions and et cetera, and just adds that humanity. How is that a bad thing?
Exactly. So isn't a bad thing. It's always a matter of opinion. It's always a matter of what you want with your life. To comment really quickly on the plan, I think it's whether you have a plan in life. It's always good to have a plan in life. Kind of have it in your head. You know, I want to do this at this time. I want to do this at that time. It's nice to have it, but it's not going to work out. Like, honestly, like, there's always going to be something on your
path. We're saving you the trouble of telling
but
you.
But no, it's like, it shouldn't be a step that you skip. It's supposed to be there. It's a part of it. Like Annabelle said, I was like, I went into plastic. I'm like, oh, I want to do this. When I graduate, I'm going to do this. When I do this, I'm going to go there. Like, it's like, I have an end game in mind. But like now it's like, I have questions. I'm like, do I want to be in politics? Do I want to switch to like physics or something? But it's like, no. This is my dream. This is my goal. This is how I'm going to achieve my goal. I'm staying.
But you figured that out by going along with your original plan, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the thing with women, for an example. Women, in general, we are very big planners. You will always see a woman with a planner, and this might be a generalization, but it's very common that you
have women. No, it's true. Right, I have one right here.
Exactly. And the thing is that it's okay for you to pick this major, because it is not a bad thing to do for a woman to go into politics. It's necessary. This is something they need to understand. But let's say you put that goal, all right? You put, okay, fine, I'm going to enter politics and I'm going to be a politician one day. I'm going to be an ambassador. I'm going to be president, all right? And you reach that path and people start literally stepping on your path. Yes. You know what I mean? Blocking you, barrier after barrier after barrier.
Because we hate to see women succeed. And you know what the thing is? That women do it to other guys too. Women bring women down and men bring women down too. Just like we don't want to see anyone succeed. Oh, you're a CEO at this company, or you're a leader at this whatever. And like it goes back to like envy and like this just being jealous of each other when we should be supporting one another and pushing each other to go up the ladder and do better, bigger things.
Yeah, we can't grow as a society if we don't support one another. It's like let's say society is on a ladder itself and we're on ladders in this society. If you don't help another person up, especially let's say it's a huge ladder, you're all climbing up the same path. If one falls down, everyone else is going to fall down with them.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think just like an end note, one thing that I would really, really love to see in the future leaders and the future politicians that are women is to grow with the people around you. Like we said, it's important to prioritize your growth, but the growth of the people around you. And those people include the men. We are better than this. We are so much better than this. we will not stoop to these people's level, not just men, but women that want to see other women not succeed. We will not stoop to these levels, and we will literally be the change that we want to see by representing both genders. This is how you need to go into this meeting. Don't try to battle corruption with more corruption. Try to be the change, to gather people to become the change with you.
Exactly. Change is coming.
I love that. And I couldn't have... Exactly. Change is coming. And I couldn't have ended this podcast on a better note. Change is coming. Get ready. We're doing big things. And it's really up to us as the new and upcoming generation to take that change and transform it into positive impact for everybody involved. Yes. We're 50% of the population today, tomorrow, and next week, and the week after that, and beyond. International Women's Day does not boil down to one day only. We should be celebrating women every day, all the women in our lives, and appreciating the big steps that we're taking head on. Thank you, Marina and Annabelle, for joining us on this episode. I hope that everybody enjoyed our conversation, even though it was a bit too long, but it was worth it. And we'll see you in next week's
episode.
Thank you
so much for this conversation. I got too passionate, I'll say this. It's something so dear, as I said at the beginning. And I loved
having it
with both of you.
It's not a bad thing. We talked about this. Passion is a good thing.
It was an amazing conversation, and it was so nice to have it with beautiful women who are really making an impact in the society. I really hope that this really inspires more women to do the same.
That's
Thank you both so
That's
much.
The point. Thank you, ladies.
Have a great day.